Welcome to Self-Compassionate Professor, a career wellness podcast for mid-career and recovering academics who want more. More meaning, balance, rest, joy, and more clarity. Our motto here is no regrets. So glad you're here. Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 167. I'm Danielle Delamar. And this month in May of 2023, I'm really trying to focus on the stories of people who have stayed in academia, who have done the inner work to find their self-compassionate path, right? Their own career wellness, and found themselves in academia. And that might have meant that they came to realize that they wanted to stay there. Or in today's case, as you'll listen to my interview with Dr. Melva Robertson, you'll hear that she took that COVID pause, that big pause that we all experienced when the pandemic was in full swing. And she used that to reflect on what she wanted out of her career and realized she wanted to make a career pivot into academia. She already had her doctorate, but she had not been working as an academic. So when I talked to her back in 2021, Melva had just begun her new career as an assistant professor. It was her first semester, and she was thrilled with her decision. And I want to play that interview for you now, today. But before I do, I want to give you a little update. For those of you who thought that Melva would have sort of worn out, right? Like, give it some time, and she's not going to feel the same way about her new career in academia. That is not true. I am happy to report that Melva, who I spoke to just last week, has absolutely zero regrets. She's still loving her academic work. And the one thing she wanted me to say is that she's really learned to trust the process. Your career's going to unfold as it will. And sort of relaxing into the process, letting the journey lead you to wherever it needs to take you, is, according to Melva, really, really important. Her point is to not be married to a journey that's not working for you anymore. Let yourself move in a direction that feels right to you and know that it wasn't a waste of time to be doing the thing you were doing previously. If you're finding joy in the new path, just let it unfold. Let yourself walk it. Anyway, Melva says that she preaches this to her students all the time. And honestly, I preach this too in my own way, right? Like, psychological flexibility, that's the term I use. You don't have to do anything rigidly. And I agree with Melva. You can trust the process. You don't have to stay stuck in something that's not working for you. So yeah, I am going to take us back to 2021 when Melva and I first talked. But before I do that, I want to just remind people that May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, there will be a short workshop series, just 1 hour each day, where on the first day we talk about digesting the emotions of the academic year you just completed. On the second day, on May 24th, we talk about rest, the value of rest and trusting rest. And then on the third day, May 25th, we talk about recalibrating so you can start walking a self-compassionate career path. Again, 1 hour each day. We're going to help you detox from the previous academic year and set yourself up so that you can begin a career wellness journey. And if you've ever thought about the sabbatical program, this will give you a little taste of what the sabbatical program feels like. It's free. You should come. You should invite your colleagues and friends. You can register at selfcompassionateprofessor.com. Just go to the Career Wellness Workshops tab, register there, and I'll see you May 23rd, May 24th, May 25th, 1 hour each day. And you'll get a chance to hang out with others who are in their own version of career crisis, trying to figure out the next steps on their career wellness journey. It always helps to know you're not alone. So come join us. Feel the community around you. Try it on. All right. That said, here is Dr. Melva Robertson now talking about her career pivot into academia and how good career decisions always emerge from self-care. Here she is now. I have the pleasure of speaking to Dr. Melva Robertson, Assistant Professor of Management at Clayton State University. Oh, Melva, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I am so excited. I'm happy to have this conversation with you today. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, gosh, it's so my pleasure. Let me give some background information to the listeners. So, Melva and I got on a call, I don't know, maybe a month ago or something, and I heard her story about leaving her career in media relations and finding a new career in academia because of all the COVID stuff and the great resignation and all the burnout and all that. And I know that I'm speaking in these really broad strokes, and I absolutely want you to fill in the details. But I'm so glad you're here to talk about all this COVID burnout crap and what we're all sort of dealing with, and how you've sort of found a nice space to support yourself amidst this really hard time. So let's start there. Talk about what was going on and how you suddenly found yourself in academia after many, many years in media relations.
Yes, well, thank you again for the introduction and for the wonderful synopsis. I will say that my decision to switch careers came, I would say it was confirmed more so during the pandemic, but it wasn't all because of the pandemic. And that's what we found has happened with a lot of people. The opportunity to experience, I say opportunity, my positive outlook on the pandemic, but the opportunity to experience the shutdown, I think it provided a lot of clarity for a lot of people, and it gave people a lot of time to just sort of weigh some of the pros and cons and the next steps in their lives, and really evaluate how valuable or meaningful the work that they're currently doing is versus what they could be doing. I think it was a hidden gem. Of course, there was a lot of loss and devastation and uncertainty, and so many awful things have happened as well. But if we're looking at the silver lining of it all, I think that what we're seeing with the Great Resignation, as of this morning, I just read something about the Great Shuffle, reshuffle, and as well as just people really assessing where they are and being more mindful about their lives in a more holistic way, I think has come from the pandemic. So what I would say in terms of my own decisions is, I had an opportunity to sort of evaluate what is it that I want to prioritize moving forward in my life, in my career. And I've switched now. I don't say work-life balance anymore. I say life-work balance. I have made a commitment just across the board to be more engaged in life. Okay. And all of those things, you know, wanting to enjoy life, spending time with my family, being present, memories and create memories. Then just thinking about how can I be a better person, you know, myself, be more healthy, be more healthy physically and mentally, so that I am able to be present in those situations. And so a lot of thoughts went into what was the next step. And I would even back up to say that I started thinking about this during the time that I was pursuing my doctoral degree. Because, you know, you go to school and you do all this work and you're thinking, what am I going to do with this? And I always knew that I wanted to use what I was learning in a very practical way. I wanted to take sort of an applied approach to my work. And in that, I decided, you know what, let's see what academia holds for me in a different way, because I've worked in higher ed most of my career. At least 15 years out of my career has been working in higher ed, but more on the administrative side as communications director, media relations, and things like that. So this was an opportunity to take the other side of academia. And so far, so good, I must say.
Yes, I know. And I love that, because you had said to me at the before we started the recording today, I'm just so happy to have the time to talk about this today.
Yes.
Because that was sort of in comparison to the work you were doing before, where I think you said you were on call like 24/7, basically. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always had a career where I work in sort of crisis mode. So as if anyone that's a communications practitioner who does crisis communications will tell you, it's a nonstop 24/7 job. And I've had that type of job since I started my career after undergrad, where, you know, I'm always on call. I'm listening to the news and watching what's happening and figuring out a way to be a part of this 24/7 news cycle. And just being available to whether it's my subject matter experts or my institution or organization or reporters at all hours of the night, all hours of the day. And that has been the theme throughout my entire career. And I just got to a point where I wanted to take a different route. I wanted to still apply everything that I have gained and all of that I've learned throughout my career, but doing it in a different way, in a way that I think now will be more meaningful for me and for those that I interact with. And, you know, for me now, it's for my students. I'm able to really take all of this real world experience that I've had, and now I can share it with my students. I teach leadership and leadership communications. So when we talk about these things, I can give them a very good broad perspective that I think will help them transition from academia or in the classroom to the real world when they get there.
Wow. That's wonderful. Because so few of us who are academics had the sort of practical experience before we became academics. I mean, I guess it's like social workers or sort of educators. Those are sort of the exceptions. Generally, but that's super cool that you have that practical experience that you can impart to your students. And I'm also thinking, like, what are the other elements that you're grateful to have in this job when compared to the last one?
Well, you know, again, I have to speak holistically about the career, because it was a complete career change. So it wasn't just my last position. It was my career before right. now. And I would say what's different about that is, you know, I have a better work-life situation. I feel that I'm able to really make an impact. Not that I wasn't able to do that before, but I'm able to do it in a different way that's important to me at this stage of my career. I love being able to interact with the students. I'm a communicator. I don't think that I'll ever not be a communicator. And part of my I would say strengths. You know, I've done all kinds of assessments, and one of my top strengths is relator. I enjoy and I thrive off being able to relate and interact with others in a way that's meaningful and will produce a common good as a result. And so for me, I just feel that happening when I'm interacting with my students, when we're having conversations in class and we're able to really step outside of just textbook, but also incorporate real life. And they come to me with different things that they're considering, and I'm able to give them a different perspective than they might have heard before, or something they haven't heard before, or maybe confirming something that they've already heard. I enjoy that, and I thrive off that, and it excites me. And I think the difference now is that what excited me before is not the same thing that excites me now. And the things that I just mentioned are what excites me now. So I had to kind of recalibrate, you know, in terms of what are my goals? What are my priorities? What do I enjoy? What is most satisfying in my career and in my personal life? And that was a lot of reflection. And a lot of that happened during the pandemic, during the opportunity to, I say we were all put on a timeout. Go and think about what you've done. And that's what I did.
So tell us a little bit about the timeout. I know you've done research about this, and I know you have had an article that just got published on this. So what did you find, and what are some of the things that people are doing that they haven't been doing in their careers prior to this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have an article that was recently published in Strategic HR Review. And it's basically talking about what we're talking about, identifying missed opportunities on leadership to reduce employee turnover and tension during the pandemic shutdown. And what that really is we're looking at what happened during that, let's say a year, right, time frame that made people decide, once hiring ramped back up and jobs started to open, made people decide to quit their jobs. And typically, you know, this is a very uncertain time. We use unprecedented and uncertain so much at the beginning of the pandemic. We always heard during these unprecedented times and these times of uncertainty. And it really was. It was a very uncertain time. And typically, you don't find employees leaving their jobs or quitting their jobs during times of uncertainty. But in April of 2021, there was a series high across all industries of employees who quit their jobs. There were 4 million employees who quit their jobs in April of 2021. And that was sort of a peak moment, because that was shortly after things started to ramp back up in terms of, you know, vaccines were rolling out, people were having different mask mandates and allowing people to sort of engage again in the world. And things started opening up, jobs became available, and people started quitting their jobs. And we even found that people were quitting who did not have another job to go to, which also is very uncommon. So I said it was during that period of timeout, because right before, I'd say a year before, in April of 2020, everything, the turnover pretty much, I mean, it almost stopped. It was at 1.9 million people who were quitting in April of 2020 during the pandemic. Then in April of 2021, it spiked to 4 million. So during the pandemic shutdown, of course, people were in their jobs. They weren't quitting. We didn't know what was happening. And it was just an opportunity, I think, for people to look at, you know, what am I doing? What am I going to do moving forward? It was a good lesson on our mortality, you know, like we don't have, tomorrow's not promised. Am I maximizing my life the way I should be? Am I doing the things that I always said that I wanted to do? And then the other thing that I found in this paper, or write about in this paper, is that people decided that they did not want to continue working in the environment that they were currently in for whatever reason. And there are tons of reasons. I highlight things such as justice in the workplace, which is, you know, their fairness appraisal. Am I being treated differently than other people? Of course, work-life balance, you know, am I able to really live my life in this job that I have? And then there's awards and recognition, you know, am I being recognized, or do I feel valued? Do I feel like my leaders and my organization value who I am and the work that I'm doing? Because a lot of people were burnt out, but they were still working. But then when the pandemic came and we had to shut down, it was an opportunity to kind of say, you know what? I'm doing a lot of work. Is this really valuable? Is this something that's appreciated? Do I feel respected? And we all have felt this way and know that respect is, if a person feels respected and valued in a workplace, they will stay there almost among any condition. You will have loyalty, commitment, even with low pay and lack of resources. If a person feels valued, they will stay on a job. And so that was another one. And, you know, just a culmination of all of these things with what surveys show is that inaction fatigue, which is basically that all of these things have always occurred. I'm recognizing them and in most cases addressing them to my employee or my leader during the shutdown or before the shutdown, and nothing changed. So a lot of people experience inaction fatigue, which was nothing is changing. I need to change. I need to leave. And so they made that choice to leave. And I think that it was during what I call the timeout that people really started to reassess and recalibrate and reprioritize and just took steps to make sure that they were doing what felt right for them.
And you are writing about this, you are doing research about this, and you're experiencing it yourself. Yes?
Yes. I will say for me, in terms of the personal connection to it, is I understand what it's like to take that time out. It was a very good opportunity for me to just reflect during that time out and to really think about what's next. You know, because you think about it, but then we're on the move so much. We've got children and families and jobs and all of these other things that distracted us, I think, before the shutdown. But then I know I found myself during the shutdown, it was just very quiet. And I was observing things, even in the midst of, you know, of course, hectic times on anybody's workplace during that time. But there was still this quiet that was just very different. You know, if you walked outside, it was calm, it was still. You could hear the birds chirping. I would wake up every morning to birds, and I would ask myself, have those birds always been there? You know, I didn't hear the cars, the distraction of the cars on the road. I mean, there was just a very serene time and a good opportunity to reflect. So for me, during that, my story is that I was able to reflect on what I wanted to do next. That was very important for me. What do I want this next chapter to look like? And I think that everyone is motivated differently. That question comes differently for everyone for different factors. But for me, that's what it was. It was just an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm able to really experience a lot of time with my family now, even though it's still stressful because we're in the middle of a pandemic and we don't know what's going on. And we're trying to figure out virtual working and virtual learning and how to Zoom all day and night without Zoom fatigue and all these different things. But we were doing it together. You know, we were together and we were able to spend time that was quality time that I don't know that we've ever had before like that. So, you know, that just became more of a priority for me. And I wanted to find an opportunity to experience that not just temporarily during the shutdown, but on a recurring basis. And I wanted to feel satisfied and that I had a good grasp of where I wanted to go. So for me, that's sort of the motivating factor for my decision to change my career.
And I'm wondering, did you consider an academic career previously when, you know, you had done your PhD, or had you just started to consider it when the shutdown happened?
I had considered an academic career previously. In fact, I've been an adjunct on several occasions in throughout my career. And I've always enjoyed academia. That's why like I said, the last half of my career has been in higher ed. And so having the opportunity to be an adjunct instructor and teach courses and workshops, I've always just found great energy. I could be tired from the day and then have a workshop to teach or be a guest lecturer for someone, and I would feel so energized. It was like a burst of energy, like I'd had some type of energy drink or something. And I started to listen to that, listen to what how my body was reacting to that. And I realized that I enjoy this. This is what recharges me. This is what makes me feel like I'm making an impact. And so, it was one of those things where it was a one day I'll be an instructor. One day I'll be a professor full time. One day. But then one day I realized that I can't keep saying that. If this is something that I want to do, then I need to do it. And I need to take the opportunity that was presented and I need to act on it. And I promise you that it just feels so refreshing to be able to start something new and feel like you made the right decision.
Oh wow, I love that. And I will say that when I would teach, I would come out of the classroom and feel exhausted. It was just this like, ugh. And when I started coaching work, that's when I finally figured out what other teachers like you are talking about, where it's your thing. Like, it's where you get your energy, it's where you're in the moment, it's where all the good stuff happens. Like, that didn't happen to me when I was a teacher, but I heard other teachers talking about that, and I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great not to have to go lie down on your office floor after every class? But then I feel it now when I coach. I could get on a coaching call and feel really tired, and like, drained, COVID stuff. And then by the end, I'm like, yes. And so I guess I just want to stop and say to people, since you brought up this, like, listen to your body, listen to your energy moments, I would say to listeners, please do that when you're really thinking about whether or not, you want to stay in academia or leave academia. Think about what energizes you. And so then my question for you, well, maybe I should ask you, do you want to say more to that?
I do, because I think that for me, switching careers was the best option for me. Leaving the practitioner side and going into the classroom was the best decision for me, but that's not always what's going to happen. It's not always the case that you'll want to leave your job. It could be that you just need to again recalibrate. What is it on your job that you can do that will give you that burst of energy? Maybe it's starting your own business and implementing what you're doing in the classroom in your business, or maybe it's starting some type of initiative within your organization or within your department. But just really thinking about, and I guess that's sort of the aha moment that I had, is that it's not about leaving, it's about really listening to your body, understanding what you need to feel satisfied. Not necessarily what others think your job should be, what others think the scope of your job should be, but what it is that energizes you. What's your passion, and how can you incorporate that passion into what you do? I have a friend that absolutely loves her organization. She loves her job. She's not in higher ed or in academia, but she loves her job. And but she's not fulfilled in the role that she's currently in. But she doesn't want to leave the organization. And so what I tell her all the time is think about how you can use your strengths, how you can use these passions that you have, and use that within this company. Find the fit. Find your fit. Don't conform to the particular responsibility. Find your fit, and a lot of times organizations welcome new ideas, welcome new approaches.
100%.
And So really listening, but it takes that reflection. And, you know, I say that the shutdown was so important because we were forced to reflect. I didn't say, you know, that I think it was February the 28th, if I'm not mistaken, was my last day in the office. And I did not say that day, that was before the shutdown. I did not say, okay, we're going into this quarantine, this pandemic and this shutdown, whatever we want to call it. I'm going to use this time to reflect. That never occurred to me. And so that's why I say it was kind of a forced timeout. You know, when you're in trouble with your parents and they put you in timeout, you didn't ask to be there, but you're there, right? So what do you do during timeout? Well, for me, it was a forced time to reflect. And I appreciated it because it helped me to make some decisions that I think I would have been too distracted to make otherwise.
Yes. And so it makes me wonder what, I mean, I know I'm pretty sure your research is not really focused on like academic labor and the academic sort of market, but do you have, maybe there is something to it. I don't know if you have that as part of the research you've done, but do you have any sort of data or even anecdotes or anything around the issues and challenges academics are facing or have faced in this forced timeout? And if it's not any different, that's cool. But I wonder if there's anything sort of more nuanced there.
Yeah, that's a great question. So my research doesn't specifically look at academia, but what we saw, you know, what is shown is that across all industries, this trend has occurred. So I don't think that there's anything different that's happening in academia than what's happening, say, for instance, in, you know, transportation. It's a people issue, you know, more so than an industry specific area. And in that regard, it's the same. People are burned out. People are trying to find their purpose. People are, you know, frustrated with the circumstances of our world right now. And because of that, they're trying to figure out what's next for them. What do I do? And they're tired of sort of the mundane, everyday thing that they've always done. And they're looking at, for this next phase, how is it that I'm going to get myself to a point where I feel fulfilled when I wake up and start my day, or when I lay down at night, I feel like I've done something purposeful that will contribute positively to our society or to our world or to my industry or, you know, whatever the case may be. And I think that that is uniform across all industries. Because I, you know, like I said, I've worked in higher ed for quite some time, and the same things that I'm hearing and I've experienced and I've seen that's happening in academia, it's also happening with my friends that are non-academics. And we're all having these same conversations. We're just in different fields. And so what I feel needs to happen is a couple of things. One, we have to just take the time to reflect and really be mindful of what it is that we feel we were put here to do and what it is that we, the contribution we feel that we can make. When a person feels valued and they feel that they are a contributor to some type of greater good, they will be committed, engaged, and they will feel satisfied. And once you figure that out, and it's trial and error, you know, the academia thing might not have worked for me. And then I would have had to recalibrate again and figure out what is it, you know, but in my case, I feel like it has worked and it is working, and I'm headed in that right direction. And for someone else, what they leave their job and decide to do, whether it's start their own business or, you know, go to a different institution, maybe it's not the institution for you. Maybe you need to try a different institution, or maybe your focus is a little, should shift a little bit to something else. You know, there's just so many things. It's sort of this big opportunity, this big pot of opportunity and options that exist. And we just have to figure out what it is. And that in itself can be overwhelming, but it's so fulfilling when you figure it out and you're not just going through the motions doing something because you've always done it.
And I am right there with you when you talk about needing the space to reflect. That is sort of key to recalibrating. And I wonder if you have any advice for people who are sort of feeling like, I mean, we talked about this before before the recording, and it was you had said something like, this is like a plateau moment for us, you know, like things have opened up, but there's really no end in sight. Like we're still dealing with all the consequences of the pandemic, and in a lot of ways, we're just sort of existing. And so for those of us who are just sort of existing, and we still have the day-to-day, and we aren't having the same space we maybe had a while back. How might we create space in our lives to recalibrate if that's something we know we need to do?
That's a great question. And I think that, what's important right now and what we see so many people suffering with is mental health issues. And when we say mental health, a lot of times we ignore our own mental health because we're thinking about some diagnosed, I've gone to the doctor and they've diagnosed me with this particular mental health condition. But mental health is anything that's affecting our body, anything that we're dealing with that is having an adverse effect on our body. So whether it's stress, whether it's constant headaches that you might have, you might not feel like eating, you might just be in a mood and you don't know why. All of these different things that we that affect our bodies are effects of mental health. And it's just so important that we take care of our mental health, that we feel peace, that we have moments to decompress. We have moments to just, even if you don't want to contemplate life, just have moments to just reflect and sit down and not necessarily even do anything. I think that those moments like that that aren't forced, where you're not saying, okay, I'm going to take 30 minutes and I'm going to think about my next chapter in life. That right there can be stressful, because after your 30 minutes, if you haven't figured it out, now you're stressed. So, for me, it was an unexpected reflection. I didn't even realize a lot of times that I was reflecting. I just knew that I wasn't distracted by some of the things that I didn't even realize were distracting me. So, I would say the first step would probably just be focus on your mental health. If you're in a situation now where you feel drained and stressed and exhausted, the first thing to do is take care of that. Because if you still are experiencing that, you're not going to be able to focus on anything else because it's too distracting. So thinking about, what are some things that I can do to kind of decompress during the day, at the end of the day, before the day starts. I can tell you that I've had many times where the first thing I did in the morning before I stepped out of bed was got the laptop and just started going. I didn't take time to wake up. I'm still sleepy trying to figure out how to log in. What's my password? I can't even think straight, And a lot of times we did that, especially in this remote work environment. And so, things for me that helped was, I'd wake up in the morning and I intentionally set a time that I would start working, but it was not the very first thing that I did when I opened my eyes. First thing I did was whatever I needed to do for me. And that included, your morning. Some people do coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. I love orange juice. My morning orange juice, breakfast. I might take a walk, in the morning, a quick walk just to get my mind ready for the day. I might decide I want to watch something frivolous on TV, listen to a podcast, listen to a song, whatever ritual you can do in the mornings before you get started. But don't wake up and just give the first few minutes of your new life that day to work that's going to stress you out and that you'll probably be doing for the rest of the day. So those kinds of things, taking breaks. There's the in the paper I talk about how the remote work, although a lot of people wanted to work remotely before the pandemic, we found that more people were burned out because of remote work because they did not stop during the day. They woke up, started working, and they
rarely slept, and continued working until the wee hours of the morning. They skipped moments to decompress. They skipped the lunch hour or the lunch break that they would normally get. They didn't do any of those things. They didn't take PTO because they felt like they had to show their employer that they were working. And if you're working from home, why do you need to take time off, you know? And so those were factors that contributed to remote work burnout. And so in the paper, I encourage leaders to recognize those things and help encourage their employees to take breaks, to take walks during the day, close the laptop, turn the cell phone off for 10, 15, however minutes you can spare, and just take moments for yourself. And when you're doing that and you're not really trying to figure something out, those kinds of things naturally come to you. And that's how it happened for me.
Yes. Yes. I love this. So it's no self-pressure. It's focusing on just giving your mind and your body what it needs. And through those kinds of moments, career sort of insights may just emerge for you.
Exactly. You'll start to notice things when you become more mindful of your surroundings. You'll start noticing things that you enjoy more. You know, I started taking walks in my neighborhood. I don't know that I did that before. I've lived in my house for 11 years. And during the pandemic, we took walks every day. And I enjoyed it. We discovered that there's a trail in our neighborhood. We've lived here 11 years and we never knew that there was a trail in our neighborhood.
I love that.
And then I said, you know, I like this trail. Let's start making this part of our routine. But I didn't go looking for it. I just found it while I was trying to decompress. And I think that that's what will happen for those of us that are trying to figure these things out. Don't focus so much on figuring it out. Focus more on just decompressing from the stressors that you currently have. And in those calm moments, there's moments of revelation that'll happen. There's moments of clarity that you'll experience. And the only thing that I can share is that this is what worked for me. And this is what's working for others, according to what we're seeing.
Amen to all of that. I love it. I preach this stuff all the time. Like, you need to have that quiet space. Yes, yes, yes. And so in the end, as we sort of tie everything up, what would you want to say to sort of complete our conversation?
I would just say, you know, gosh, we've talked about a lot of things. And the one thing I think that has just really, for me throughout this entire experience, has been very important is self-care. And self-care is not the focus of my article, but it's something that at the end of the day, when you read and see what people were experiencing on their jobs, sort of the behaviors that not necessarily were encouraged, but somehow became habitual, that employees were doing, like I said, not taking breaks, not taking lunch, not doing anything for themselves, working all the time, just living in that burnout state, that's not healthy. And so the first thing I would say before anything else can happen is we have to take care of ourselves. And so self-care is what's most important. Through that self-care, you're clearing your mind, you're able to start thinking more clearly and seeing things differently, and your priorities will begin to shift. And those are the kind of things that trigger, you know, I think I want to start this. I think I want to do that. Because you're having moments where your body's like, oh, you mean I don't have to always be on go? I don't have to always do something. And when your body realizes that, then it can take a moment to say, oh, well, okay, since I have this moment, let me think about something else. And I do want to share this. You know, one thing that I realized, I had a little bit of time between when I left my last position and started my new position. And I realized that I had to decompress from just my normal way of doing things. You know, I wanted to start my new position with a clear mind, you know, just kind of fresh, no baggage from my previous career. I love to say that. And that's not to say that there was baggage from the previous employer or past employers, but just the habits of living in a crisis communications role, which is always being on point, always looking for emails, always looking to see if there's anything, you know, just always on. So I took some time and to kind of decompress. And what I found was that I was very uncomfortable with the moments of calm. Very uncomfortable with not having to check an email or not having to respond to something or not having to monitor the news or, you know, just all these different things I've done for all my career. And so that happens as well. And you just have to work through it. But once you work through it, you realize, okay, yeah, this is something that I should be doing for myself. So self-care is really what's important.
So good. Okay, Dr. Melva Robertson, if we want to read your article or otherwise get in touch with you, how might we be able to do that?
Yes. So to read my article, it will be in Strategic HR Review. You can also, that is a publication by Emerald Publishing. You can also visit my website, melvarobertson.com. And all of the ways to reach me are there as well.
Awesome. Thank you so, so, so much for this great conversation. I really appreciated it.
Thank you. I appreciate this conversation as well. It's so great to hear all of the wonderful things that you're sharing with us through this podcast. So thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Self-Compassionate Professor. Email me at danielle@selfcompassionateprofessor.com. And for those of you who are committed to finding career wellness, I invite you to join the Sabbatical Program. We're a group of academics who normalize rest, play, and feeling whole. We make career decisions from that place. Find out more at selfcompassionateprofessor.com.